Mark chapter 5, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to look at Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, and that refers to the eastern shore of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, into the country of the Gadarenes. This area was about 3 miles from the Sea of Galilee, the town of Gadara, anyway, which is prominent in this story, was about 3 miles from the sea. So a ways away. Verse 2, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And this man was so bad, so possessed, that the only place he could find any kind of refuge was in a cemetery. Nobody wanted him around. It says in verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. People who are demon-possessed have superhuman strength. This man did. 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. There was no cure for this man who was demon-possessed. There was nothing that anyone could say or do that could possibly control him or change him. He was bound by demons. 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones, and so the demons were tormenting him. 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And so the demons, who absolutely hate God, and therefore hate Christ, who is God, still worship him. They still must bow before him. Verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not. Demons know their fate, whether they want to admit it or not. They know their end will be eternal torment, and they know the one who will banish them to that place, and it's Jesus. And they just beg him that it will not be now. Verse 8, for he said unto them, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus was commanding the demons to come out of this man, and they were afraid of where he might send them. 9, and he, Christ, asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. A legion was 6,000 Roman soldiers. There were many. I don't know if there were 6,000 inside of this guy, but there were a lot of them. No wonder he was tormented. He was being literally torn apart, body, soul, and spirit. 10, and he besought Christ much that he would not send them away out of the country. You know, the demons, in order to really be used in an evil way, need a body. They want to be in a body of some sort. And as we see, they're not particular. 11, now there was there near unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And these swine were owned by someone in the nearby town. 12, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. They want to be in some kind of a body. They just don't want to be disembodied spirits, because they can't do anything in a material world unless they're in a material body. And they don't mind going in a pig. That's how low demons are. 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So there evidently was at least 2,000 demons in this man, because they possessed 2,000 pigs. And if it's possible for a pig to commit suicide, that's what they did. Pigs have higher standards than demons. They would rather be dead than be possessed by demons. That's a pig. 14, and they who fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And so the swineherds, those in charge of the herd of pigs, thought, how in the world are we going to explain this? The death of these pigs under our watch, what are the owners going to say? So they went and explained what happened. 15, and they come to Jesus and see him who was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They should have been happy. The owners of these pigs saw this formerly demon-possessed man normal. And the Bible says they were afraid. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of losing more money, more of their wealth, because they just lost 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of tenderloins. 16, and they who saw it told them how it befell to him who was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. So they let the owners know that Jesus sent the demons out of the man, which then went into the pigs. 17, and they began to pray him, Jesus, to depart out of their coast. Get out of here. Get out. We don't want you around. Your presence is costing us money. They were more concerned about their wealth and their filthy pigs than they were this human being who had been delivered of devils. 18, and when he, Jesus, was come into the ship, he who had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So Jesus is leaving. He's not staying where he's not wanted, never does. You turn your back on Jesus, he'll leave you. You refuse to confess your sin, he'll leave you. You refuse to repent, he's not going to stay around. He doesn't force himself on anyone. And this guy who was delivered from demon possession wanted to go with Jesus. 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. So Jesus said, no, I don't want you to come with me. I want you to stay here and be a witness. Tell everybody that you know that I did this for you. Tell them about me. And this was probably a tough pill for this man to swallow, because he really wanted to be with Jesus. 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So he did his job, even though it wasn't his first choice. He would have rather that God would allow him to do something else, but he didn't. So he did what he could. He did what God allowed him to do. 21. And when Jesus had passed over again by ship to the other side, so they're back in the city of Capernaum on the west side of Galilee, much people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And so a lot of people gathered at Jesus once again to hear him, to touch him, to see his mighty works. 22, and behold, there cometh out of the rulers of the synagogue Jairus by name. And when he saw him, when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Now, this is a ruler of the synagogue. And I don't know, this took courage, this took guts, this took humility for this man, a ruler of the synagogue, to turn against his fellow rulers who hated Jesus and to actually bow before Jesus. He must have a desperate need. 23, and besought him greatly. He pleaded with him, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. That's why he was so desperate. His little girl was just about dead. And, you know, a serious situation like that cuts through all the surface things that really don't matter and get, and it has a way of straightening out people's priorities. And right now, his top priority is Jesus, and he doesn't care what anybody thinks. His little girl's life is at stake. 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So the crowds are just pressing in upon Jesus as he's walking to Jairus' house. Slowing him down too, by the way. 25, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and that was just some sort of constant hemorrhaging, and it was a female problem, which made her unclean. She was supposed to stay in private, not go out into public in this condition. 26, it says that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So she was broke. She went to all kinds of doctors who tried many different things, spent all her money, and nothing worked. She's at the breaking point. There's nothing left, which is why she didn't mind, I'm sure, taking a chance and violating, actually, the law to get to Jesus. If she gets in trouble for being out there when she is in this unclean condition of this bleeding disorder, so be it. She has nothing to lose. Just like Jairus. He had nothing to lose either. Might as well go to Jesus. I have nothing to lose. Until you realize you have nothing to lose and everything to gain, you're not going to come to Jesus with all of your heart. You're not going to say, who cares what anybody else thinks? I'm turning my life over to Jesus. I have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, it says that she came in the press behind and touched his garment. She touched his garment. There was a common superstition back in those days that if you touched the fringe of a holy man's garment, virtue and holiness and even miraculous power could be transferred to you. So she's got some faith, but at best it's a mixture of faith and superstition. 28, for she said, if I may just touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And so there, that's her faith. That's the faith part of it. And she came to Jesus. She had faith in Jesus. But again, it was mixed with superstition. 29, and straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She knew she was healed instantly. In spite of the corruptness of her faith, Jesus honored it. 30, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, in the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? Which was a rather odd question since the crowds were thronging him on every side. But it was a different kind of touch. A touch of faith. Touch that caused power to go out from him, which is what he's talking about in 31. And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, who touched me? What in the world do you mean by that, Jesus? Why don't you ask us who hasn't touched you? It wouldn't take us as long to give you that answer. 32, and he looked around about to see her who had done this, and he knew it was a woman. 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. So she was afraid to come forth, probably afraid that he might reverse the healing, or that the people around him might stone her to death for breaking the law. A bleeding woman coming out in public within a crowd, touching people, that would make them all unclean too, according to the law. But boy, you know, she's going to tell the truth. So she confessed to Jesus everything. 34. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Jesus could have just ignored her and let her go home with her healing. But he wanted her to know that it was her faith in him that healed her, not some superstition. So he took the time to deal with her. 35. While he yet spoke, while he was speaking to the woman, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain one, which said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? Send Jesus away. Too late. Your daughter is dead. And his heart sunk. Must have. 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. In other words, don't listen to what they're saying. And don't you limit my power like they do. You keep the faith. 37. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He just wanted his inner circle, those who had a lot of faith. Those were his closest. They all went to the home of Jairus. He left all the disciples. He left the crowd behind. This was a private affair. 38. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the tumult, and them who wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, into the house of Jairus, he said unto them, why do you make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps. Well, the damsel was dead. Everybody knew she was dead. You can tell the difference between somebody who's sleeping and someone is dead without even listening to see if they're still breathing. They're dead. They're dead. But to Jesus, she was just sleeping because he knew what he was going to do. He was going to wake her up as if she was just taking a little nap. 40. And they would be the paid mourners. Laughed him to scorn. They ridiculed him when he said that she's just asleep. They mocked him. This guy doesn't even know the difference between somebody who's sleeping and someone who is dead. Jesus didn't pay any attention to them. He went about his business. But when he had put them all out, he actually demanded that they leave the house or the room. He took the father and the mother of the damsel and them who were with him, that would be Peter, James, and John, and entered in where the damsel was lying. So went into her room, just with the parents, and just with his closest apostles, 41. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say to you, arise. Jesus commanded the soul of this little girl to come back into her body. 42. And straightway, immediately, the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Jesus called her soul back into her body from heaven, and it returned, and she got up, and she was just fine. And everybody was amazed, and I suppose they were, because she was not only back from the dead, but she was walking around. She was healthy. She was not even sick anymore. 43. And he charged them straightly, commanded them that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now, she probably hadn't eaten for days because of this illness. And he had raised her from the dead, but he wants her parents to take care of her now and to make her strong. He cured her, but it's up to them to keep her healthy.